Okay.
All right. Welcome everybody to the Dutch City Harbor District meeting on April 22nd. I call the meeting to order. Roll call. I'm going to do roll call.
Commissioner Weber.
Yeah, here. Cool.
Commissioner Schmidt.
Present.
Commissioner Niemer.
Here.
Vice Chair Evans
Present.
and Chair Shepherd.
Here. Okay, I'll do the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. There is preliminary items as we're going to go into a general comment, public comment period. Are there any public comments? I can't see any up there. Mike, do you see any?
Yep, no, nobody.
Okie-dokie, then no public comment. We're going to adjourn into closed session. A co conference of legal counsel, existing litigation, case of Fashion Blacksmith in Crescent City Harbor District, anticipated litigation of the Government Code Section 54956.91, potential case, conference with real property negotiators, the Starfish Way and intersection of Citizens Dock Road and Anchor Way in Crescent City, parcel map number 117020016, consisting of approximately 95,000 square feet. District negotiators Mike Rademacher, Ryan Tolt, Sandy Marino, and negotiating party to Sean E. McGraw, Scott Lahan, and Daniel Dayhan. Price and payment terms. Other property negotiations on 750 US Highway 101, same negotiators and the same negotiating parties. And real property negotiations, the property address 159 Starfish Way, Crescent City, California, same negotiators and the same negotiating parties. Price and payment. With that, we'll go into closed session.
Okay, just give me a second, guys.
I'll call this meeting and reconvene out of into an open session. We're in a closed session. We came up with we're having a public meeting planned for Tuesday, April 28th. From 1 p.m. to 3 p.m., this meeting will have three options of the RV parks, and our legal team will be there to give us advice on the three options and also a presentation from the negotiators that are in the deal. So, Tuesdays and a plan on a vote on Tuesday for the RV park. So, that's the final, final. And I wanted to get the our legal team, meaning Cal Muni and Weiss and Ryan, so we could get them all together to where they could give some advice on a way to go. So that's why we've been actually stalled out for the last 2 weeks, but it's going to be done next Tuesday, April 28th. So with that, we will go into the open session and have general public comment, please. It's a subject to include that are not on the agenda, but within the subject matter of jurisdiction of the district. Each person is limited to 3 minutes of speaking time to maintain meeting decorum. Board members and staff should refrain from responding to statements or questions during this time, but may be available to follow up with members of the public after the meeting. And the decorum schedule is right here to follow. So, with that, I'll maintain public session. Public comment. We did it before the close, but we can do it again. I think that's a good idea.
No.
We'll do it again.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
With the consent calendar to consider a routine will be approved by one motion, the public staff commissioner may request specific items be removed from the consent calendar for separate consideration.
Sure.
And with that, I'll ask for public comment on the consent calendar.
I'd ask that we pull number B. I have some brief comments. You can actually put it back in, but it's got to
I want to make a comment on that. I've talked with the Coast Strand surveyors, and you know, Dan, we voted to hire them to come and do the surveying. They've done some preliminary work in the contract. It's for $54,000. They're also asking for a monthly payment. And so when we vote and hire somebody to come work for us, I think it's important that we, I don't think we should have to vote on paying them. My is my feeling. And Ryan says we don't really have to vote on paying them, but we're doing it into the public so we can be more transparent to the public. But we've hired this survey company to come and do work for us. But anyways, if you want to pull it for some investigation or some comment on it.
Briefly. Yeah, I'm just concerned, you know, when we hire a surveyor, we haven't seen anything from the work that they've supposedly done.
I've met with them in there twice now. They're here Friday. They're just doing preliminary work. They got the map. That map was a 50-year-old map that you presented here. It didn't have anything to do with their survey work. They're using it to find the monuments and find out if they're located in the right place. But their work so far is within their contracted amount, and they're in the preliminary stage of doing the survey work.
All right. I will draw my concerns at this time.
Okay, public comment, please.
It seems that over the past year or more, there's been members of the public and members of this board that have constantly brought allegations to the board and to every possible organization that would have any impact on the harbor. And it would seem this is another example where you can't even get through a consent agenda and deal with the minutes because there's some objection to the way the terminology is produced in the minutes. It befuddles me, I suppose, to understand why there's so much controversy that exists in the harbor when nothing that I'm aware of has ever produced anything that has shown you're doing anything that actually is detrimental to the community. So I would hope, as I've hoped for a number of times standing here before you, that you can come together and actually start producing things in a timely manner that solve a lot of the problems that exist for the harbor in a productive manner without, you know, all of the accusations and the negative comments and all of the disparagement of the various board members at one time or another. And I appreciate the fact that you keep your consent agenda to a reasonable level so that most of the items that the board addresses appear on in general business and are available to the public to make public comments and dispel some of the intransparencies that have been alluded to by various members of the public and the board. So I would hope that this is a step in the right direction where you can actually get to the point where you don't, you're not constantly looking over your shoulder at some issue that is brought up that has no bearing on whether you can proceed. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Where's the clock?
I think I might have a slight issue because I cannot vote on the approval of the minutes because it wasn't here. I can, however, vote on B and C.
You know, we've asked the lawyer about the attorney about that, and they're listed in here in our packet, and you can go through, and you can vote on it. If
okay,
you want to retain, that's fine. That's your priority, but the attorney says that you can actually vote on it because they're,
okay.
All the minutes are in the packet. So, but continue with public comment, please. Yeah. I'm sorry, could you state your name?
Oh, Naomi Kenya.
Well, no, okay.
That's my first time here, so I wanted to make a general public comment. We seem to have skipped right over that.
No, that's that was the general public comment, but you can do it now. I'll allow you to do it now.
Yeah, okay. So at the city council meeting, it was mentioned that there was some interest in restarting shrimp processing here, but that they couldn't do it because of the wastewater treatment plant can't handle it. But, you know, they're about to put in somewhere between $50 and $80 million into that old plant. At that price, you could build a new plant, and you could put it on a site where they could handle the shrimp processing. The problem with that site is it's too small, so they have to use these fancy membranes. They can't use ordinary processing technologies. And these membranes are really, you know, sensitive. So, you know, it's really time to get rid of that old plant anyway. So, you know, I think if the people who are interested in shrimp processing would speak up and say, you know, we'd like a new plant. You know, you've got the money, you're planning to put the money in that old plant. Why not build a new one that would actually accommodate a shrimp processing industry here? I think it might make a difference to where they're
going. It's a major goal of mine is to see processing back in Crescent City, and we're doing everything possible we can. I appreciate that comment. I really do.
Yeah, I mean,
and, it definitely needs to happen.
Yeah, well, then you got to have a new wastewater treatment plant. And at that price, $50 to $80 million, you can get a new one.
We should have done it when the prison went in.
Well, you should, yeah.
But they denied
right.
it.
That's
and
right.
What town has your sewer treatment plant in the most beautiful location? I moved here 15
that's
years ago. I went, what the hell? I mean, anyways, but thank you very much for your comment.
And as a matter of fact, it should have been in 2000. The reason they didn't was it was going to cost $2 million more to move it than to put the money in to the old one. Now they're facing $50 to $80 million. Does that make sense?
We don't want to get on that subject. This could be here for hours, but thank you very much. Thank you. Boy, oh boy. Okay. Any more public comment on the consent calendar now?
And she took all my information.
Is there anybody online? Okay. Well, then I'll entertain a motion for the consent calendar, unless there's some other issues that you have. Okay, Dan.
I'll second the motion to approve the consent calendar as submitted.
There was one minor correction needs to be made with the minutes. You can see there on the screen we put a note that Cameron Weiss and Andrew Flynn did not attend the closed session, and we also need to add in there that none of the development proposers, they did not attend either. So that would be Sean McGraw, Scott Lawton, and Daniel Dayhan.
Okay. So we'll amend the motion to include what you the fact that they were not impressed, they were not here.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So with that adjustment to the motion, in a second, you want to take a vote?
Commissioner Niemer?
Aye.
Commissioner Schmidt?
Yes.
Secretary Weber?
Aye.
Vice Chair Evans?
Aye.
And Chairman Shepherd?
Aye. Where's all this? I guess I got this one hit. Okay. Sorry about that. Okay, we'll consider and approve a request by One King Entertainment to hold a music festival at Porta Pints South Beach on May 30th, 2026 from 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. I don't know anything about this, Mike, so can you let us know? Or is
it? Yeah, so this is the second year that they would be doing this festival. It was one of the more successful events that we had last year. One King has demonstrated that they're very professional in the way they conduct and organize these events. And I think that Lieutenant Hanks may have some feedback on the road closure, maybe some other elements for the board to consider as part of this approval process. Did you have something, Justin, you want to add?
I haven't read it yet. One second.
I was wondering about it, but I think it's doable. It's just you want to close the entire road in front of Fashion Blacksmith, right? To allow for that whole area to be the entertainment area.
Right.
Someone here to present regarding it? Or?
That's what I'm saying. I read it and everything, and I saw the road closure. I didn't see a problem with it for that period of time of that day. But is there anybody to present it? Does the doctor, he's not going to present anything for it?
Yeah, there's nobody here from One King Entertainment. I mean, they were invited, but yeah. I mean,
I think it's a great thing to have. I saw it last year. It's growing in size. They didn't block the road last year, but I see that they want to expand it. I think it's a great thing for the harbor myself. It's, we get money from the concessions and to support Porta Pints is a good thing to do, I think. So
I can't comment. Last year we got some reports, calls from various people stating that there was a lot of foot traffic in the area on the road, that they thought that it was dangerous for vehicles driving back.
That's why they're blocking it this year. Yeah.
Yes.
That makes sense to me.
It should be blocked off. And that's fine.
Yeah. I think it will advise the public ahead of time that will be blocked. And So, is there any public comment on it?
Are there any permits necessary to close that street, the public street?
We did look into that, and it looks like it's under our jurisdiction exclusively.
Yeah. Besides the name of the entertainment company, you find it. Because, you know, there are always demonstrations about the no cane.
Any other commissioners' comments?
Looks like the only difference was going to be the road closure for 6 hours, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m.
That's all I saw different.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of, it was good last year.
Yeah.
It was really good. It was a good time.
People enjoyed it.
I'll entertain a motion to approve it. Move to approve. I'll second it. So, with that, a vote, please.
Commissioner Niemer?
Brian.
Commissioner Schmidt?
Yes.
Secretary Weber?
Aye.
Vice Chair Evans?
Aye.
Chairman Shepherd?
Yes. Review 25-26 quarter three budget to actual and approved budget adjustments and reclassification. Andy?
Yeah. So did all the board members get the revised budget? If not, Christina's got them here.
Okay.
I did email out them earlier today.
I got them, but I didn't get them printed out.
So. Yeah. And then there's some if people in the audience want them as well. So I was feeling pretty cocky on Monday after we put this out on Sunday. I thought, oh my God, we really did good. I was going to stand up here and be boasting about how great we were. And I should be more humbled because last night I did a final review in preparation for our meeting today, and I should have saw something right away. teaching moment. In any business, you should always know what your gross income is and what it averages. Our gross income has been 1.75 for the last couple of years. The audit is actually going to bring our revenue down last year to probably about 1.3 because we're cleaning up some stuff that was up on the balance sheet. In my review last night, I saw 2 million up there and I thought, oh my God, we really did good. I've got to look at this. And when I did, what I found is that my gross income calculation, the one that adds all of the lines, doubled the RV parks. So I overstated income by $245,000, which was quite a lot. So I am humbled and disappointed with myself. I apologize to have gotten everybody's hopes up. But certainly we learned something from that. I feel very good about every line item on the budget. I spent a lot of time looking at every line. And in addition, Christina and I also looked at it all yesterday and went through every line again to make sure we feel good about these numbers. So the important things that I would point out about the adjustments as we've done them is that when we started this budget, when I first started, this is a year ago, I've been here a year now. When we started, the first thing I worked on was getting the budget for the new year. And when we did that, we projected that we were going to have to use all of our reserves to be able to get through the year. And so that by the end of the year, we would have some issues financially. We were going to have 28,000 left in reserves. We did our first quarter review to take a look at where those numbers are because now I was here for 6 months and I should have had a better idea of what those numbers were. Plus, we just had the tsunami. So, and we knew that we were going to be getting some money from the tsunami. So we redid the budget there at the first quarter. And when we did that, we found, oh, it could be even worse, that we're only going to have 2,000 left at the end of the year. Now I've done another review, third quarter review, and I would say that it's really good. It doesn't look like it, but it is because we had a 250% increase in what we thought we were going to have left in our balance at the end of the year. So if you look at just the very last page at the very bottom, and we're going to take depreciation out. I hate that we have to put depreciation in there. It really makes it hard to understand the report. So I've added some rows down at the bottom to make it more understandable. So if we just start with the net increase, decrease in position, with the proposed adjustments that I'm putting here, we're going to have a net decrease in our position, meaning we're going to be using our reserves to get through this year of 253,000. And in the next couple lines, you see how much we have at the lake and how much we have cash on hand. And I did include undeposited funds, which are money that's we've received and we just haven't put it into the bank yet, but we actually have the instruments here in hand. We have 324,000. And the difference between that is we're going to have 71,000 left at the end of the year instead of 28 at the beginning of the year. 2,000 I projected at the first quarter review. It's actually going to be 71,000. And we feel like we're actually going to do a lot better than that because bear in mind that we have the, this includes paying Fashion Blacksmiths $362,000 payment and paying the USDA were included in this. What's not included in this and we reserved for was the insurance. That we elected to not do, and we're working with the USDA to see if we can self-fund our insurance rather than going out and spending $181,000 or more on insurance. So with that, and then the things that I would point out to you that we still have the $71,000, but we had a tsunami in there. We spent a lot of time on responding to the public or board members instead of working on revenue generation and things like that. Our crab season was not as good as we thought it was going to be. And we really thought we were going to have a good crab season because our docks were full and a lot of people were here, but the crab weren't. We thought we were going to get $75,000 for the merit and be able to offset some of our salaries. We thought that we were going to be able to use the $1 million that we got for the tsunami repairs and maintenance. We thought that was going to be able to offset some of our maintenance department. So there were a lot of things that did happen, and yet we still increased that amount by 250%. So in my mind, I'm feeling really good about where we are, and I And knowing where our workout plan is, which we'll be talking in further detail when we get to the financial section, there should not be any more talking about we're going insolvent with a bankruptcy issue. That is not on the table here. You look at these numbers and you find out where we're at in our workout plan. We are definitely into year two and moving in all the right direction with all the programs that we've been putting in place. And I'll finish that with saying, I do not think that Mike Rademacher should be resigning, as some people call for, because clearly he's doing a good job, and I wholeheartedly support my partner.
Thank you very much. Yeah, we'll have public comment.
What is poundage fee?
Well, we get a two on crab, it's a 2 cent poundage fee from the fish companies. So when we have a big crab season, of course, the harbor collects more in revenue from the fish companies. And this year the poundage was down, so that's what she was insinuating there.
Okay.
All the species of fish that are delivered out there have a different amount of fee to it. And what she was referring to was it's a crab poundage fee. So. Hey, Roger.
Several weeks ago, there was talk of an application to amend the agricultural loan. Was an obstacle. Where has that gone? Was there any addressing of that by the folks at the Department of Agriculture to amend that, put a payment on the back of the amortization loan? It was rigorously discussed here, and I don't think it's reflective in the report because I guess we're still making. Do they?
It's on a separate agenda item to come up.
We're going to we are going to be discussing that.
Does that reflect the current budget status? That particular issue, should there be some consideration of changing that payment? I didn't know. So are they related, or should we?
We're not taking any of those. Any of the workout plan is not inside this yet.
Yes. So it could be improved if there is some consideration in that.
That's what she was saying, is that it could that this could change with that decision that the USDA.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
And we believe that we're within about 2 to 3 weeks of finalizing the USDA negotiations. So. Any other public comment? How about the board? I'll bring it back to the board then. Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm slow. So all I'm asking is that if the negotiations with USDA are successful, that will improve your current situation. Is that what you're saying?
Definitely, yeah.
Thank you.
Any comments from the board on the review of the 25-26 quarter three budget to actual?
I would note also that the revised budget, different from what was in the packet, is up on the website already. So if anybody wants to see it.
But the one you handed out today is the one.
That's the final one.
I was trying to cross-reference them as we were going through it, but yeah, that's good. So that was just posted today. The latest budget.
So the $75,000 that was deleted in October, that was added back in.
It doesn't look like it on there, but it is, because I took what we actually are doing, and we don't. We haven't gotten anything from that 75. So for the next 3 months, I've adjusted for what does it look like if we don't have any merit reimbursement. Yeah.
Sandy,
mm-hmm.
Do we have our current cash on hand is about 64,800. Page 5, bottom.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. And then we currently are past due on $362,000 to Fashion Blacksmiths, which we're in the process of trying to renegotiate. Correct?
Yes.
Okay, and they were $181,000 short on a payment for insurance that we've decided not to pay with the hopeful opportunity to self-insure. Is that correct?
I don't know that I phrase it that way, but yes, mostly correct.
Okay. And we're, in, as Roger points out, we're in the process of renegotiating our USDA loan.
Correct.
Okay. So, what's our accounts payable at this time?
You know, we just got in our property tax payment, which was $197,000. So actual cash on hand right today is $215,392. And we will be getting in a bunch more cash in the next 30 to 60 days as well. And if you want to know what accounts payable is right now,
$473,534.67. So we have cash assets of $215,392, but we have a cash outflow of $473,534.67. Is that right?
Okay. Are you trying to do a cash flow projection on the plot?
Yeah,
that's what looks like you're doing.
You can call it.
Yes.
How's it working out?
I don't know. I'm not tracking it.
Okay. Well, we owe $473,000. We have $215,000.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Nothing further.
I got nothing. I don't want to argue today.
Thank you.
No, I'm fine. I'd entertain a motion to approve the budget.
Adjustments.
We'll move to approve the budget adjustments at this time.
I second.
No more public comment, no more commissioner response, so I'll take a vote.
Commissioner Niemer?
Aye.
Commissioner Schmidt?
Yes.
Secretary Weber?
Aye.
Vice Chair Evans?
Aye.
And Chairman Schiff?
Aye. All right, well, we already discussed this, the schedule of the public hearing considering development proposals for the RV parks. Well, Starfish Way, we planned on that meeting at, Tuesday, April 28th, from 1 to 3. And so I hope everybody can come and give their input on the negotiators. We know one of the negotiators, Dayhan, is committed to be here. Sean and Scott, I believe, will be here. And so they'll give their presentation. And we have a presentation from Sandy and the board on taking over the RV parks ourselves. And so it's been a long battle, a lot of negotiating. And but it's coming together, and Tuesday's the deadline, drop down deadline. We're going to make a vote, and the winner will be the owner or the lessee of the RV parks. So I don't think there's anything more except for to announce that and put it on your calendar, and we'll be here next Tuesday. So with that, we'll go to the communications report. Harbor Commissioners, committee reports. Van, you got a report?
No, I don't.
Okay.
Nothing at this time.
I've nothing to report.
Dreaming today.
Nothing to do.
Okay. Sure. I was told that the key fobs are going in, and so that's a big deal. I want to state for the record that I've never voted against the key fobs. It was my personal opinion of them, but I'm happy to hear they're going in. We've got cameras to be scheduled to, we're starting over at the sport dock on D&E, securing it, and then we're going to work our way around the harbor and hopefully have all that in. That's about my report. So,
Rick, clarification: that's cameras and key fobs on E.
The key fobs are going in at the end of this week. We were just discussing. There's only 2 days left, and they're not in yet. So, they're supposed to go in this week. The key fobs, the cameras we're looking into, and lighting. I know that light broke down, and it's a bad place over there at night, and we need some lighting. Billy Newport, our head maintenance, he's looking into some lighting. That lighting is irreparable. We don't have the money, and they're way up in the sky, and there's no way of. We used to be able to get them down and repair them. Well, we can't do that anymore.
It's out of reach.
Huh?
They're out of reach.
Yeah, yeah, and it's way too expensive. But we are gonna, and I agree. The lighting needs to be over there, and we will have that soon. So.
Is it, can you use the other three lights that are still on that post?
No, they're all out. They're all, when it fell and it broke.
Oh.
And so they're all non-functional. And so we're looking at probably somewhere up in the corner over there where the seating is to put some kind of a light shining out over in that corner. It's going to be solar. Put some solar lights up there, and so like I said, that's we're looking into that. And last meeting there was a big interest in the key fob, and so we're going to give that one a try and see how it works, and then we'll install them on the rest of the dock. Harbor Master report. I want to say that Mike went through surgery yesterday down in LA. There were some complications, but you're on here, Mike?
Yes, I am. Yeah.
He had some problems today to where he couldn't get back. And are you okay, Mike?
I'm hanging in there, yeah.
Okay. Do you have a report?
Yeah. We're working on several lease renewals. We'll have more about that in the public session coming up, upcoming meetings. Also, we're working with the Bureau of Ocean Energy Management. They're doing a study on how offshore wind would impact the fishing industry. And I think from what I've seen so far, they're very interested in protecting the interests of the commercial fishing fleet. I would say they're taking a much more skeptical approach towards offshore wind than they have in the past, but that's just my impression. There's nothing official, no official statements from them, but I'm sure they'll be engaging with the public in the near future. Right now they're just engaging with some of the public agency stakeholders. And as we mentioned, we're coming to the culmination of the RV park negotiations. Really excited about that. I think we're going to have several good options to consider. I met with engineers from Bellingham Marine on re-engineering the H dock, and we came up with some really interesting ideas. One of them in particular has sort of an open crate design, they're calling it, and so it would change the fluid dynamics, because one of the problems with H dock when the tsunami hit is that it didn't rise fast enough with the water column. And that's what caused sort of that asynchronous rising of the different floats, sever the electrical connections. And with this revised design, which would be funded with California Disaster Assistance Act money, there would be its open crate design, so the water could actually flow through the walking platform. And there'll be more presentations on that down the road, but It's kind of interesting to see how we can make our harbor even more tsunami resilient. And, you know, we can still have HDOC be sort of a sacrificial dock and protect the inner boat basin, but without the damage that we had even last year. We had our local hazard mitigation plan approved by Cal OES. And so now it's going to go to FEMA. And generally speaking, since Cal OES is very comprehensive in their review process, a lot of times FEMA just kind of, you know, puts their stamp of approval and you're done. Sometimes FEMA has some feedback, but usually it's pretty straightforward at this point. And that is one of the prerequisites in order for us to get 100% funding for the tsunami repairs. So we wouldn't have any match funding. There's a few other things that still have to be done to meet those requirements, but that's the biggest one. And I just wanted to comment on the permitting for the seawall construction and Citizens Dock. We got a little bit of a curveball with the sinkhole that developed. And so we had a meeting with the permitting agencies yesterday. And, you know, it was a little bit sobering because they wanted us to do some additional work in the permitting side of things in order to address the sinkhole and make sure it's stabilized. So we'll have some more updates on that. We're talking to a lot of different engineers on possible solutions, but it's probably a little premature to say too much more than that.
Mike, is that going to push back the construction start?
No, I talked to him in May. It was May. Now it's like looking like June. Is that right, Mike?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say. It's definitely going to be delayed. Yeah. I don't even know if I want to commit to June. Obviously, we are pushing for an emergency permitting process because we feel like the sinkhole only exacerbates the need for this to happen more quickly. And, you know, we had a meeting with Moffitt and Nickel, and Moffitt and Nickel supports that approach, that they do think there is an urgency. And so hopefully the permitting agencies will view it that way as well. They were, you know, to be fair, there were some of the permitting agencies that wanted to go the other direction because of the sinkhole. They want to do more study. And so that was kind of surprising to me, and I think to a lot of the people on the call. But we're going to submit an emergency application, and that's going to require the permitting agencies to justify in writing their reasoning. And, you know, we're hopeful that we can get this through on an emergency basis. But, you know, remains to be seen at this point.
You know, we really need to express to them the importance of that seawall and what the ramifications are when it's starting to fail. We've already broke a main water line that goes out there, and it was directly due to the seawall demise. And so I don't know what's next. You know, that should be really presented to them as an emergency situation. It's been condemned now for over a year. And when that, then to explain to them when that gets pushed back, that also pushes back the Citizens Dock replacement, which is even more serious for our fishing fleet. So we need to express to them the importance of getting this done and how long we've been doing it. We had a setback with the tsunami regulations for the state that pushed it back a whole year. And I think that should be brought to their attention and let them, you know, we just can't continue these delays, you know.
Yeah, I mean, they're definitely were. I mean, obviously, there's multiple agencies involved in this, and some of the agencies were very understanding of our position, you know, because we made the argument that, hey, if these sinkholes progress, which we know they're going to keep progressing, and there's some sort of, you know, collapse into the ocean, that's going to have a pretty significant environmental impact, because that's what they're concerned about, is, you know, environmental mitigation and make sure that we don't have any adverse impact to the wildlife, et cetera. And, you know, we very, very forcefully made the argument that the sinkhole issue that they're focusing on, you know, really, in our opinion, makes it more important, more of an emergency. And so we're going to be gathering some documents and basically some evidence to take them at the next meeting. And Moffitt Nickel has been very helpful in that regard. And we're also engaging with the two proposers that want to submit a bid for project management, asking them to give us their sort of preliminary assessment to see how they might handle it. And that'll kind of factor into our decision making on who the board decides to go with for a project manager. So we've got another.
We only have a certain time frame for doing the construction, so that should be brought into. And what is it doing for the grant funding? Is it bringing a problem with the time frame of our grant funding?
Well, we have a lot of different strategies in terms of moving the project forward. If these permitting agencies, it's a little premature to talk about the different options, but you can do in-water work, you can do land-based shoreside work, you can do work with procuring the materials. There's a lot of things you can do while you're waiting for final approval. And so we're looking at a lot of different contingencies, and we'll probably have a lot more to say after the next meeting with the permitting agencies, and then once we have our emergency application submitted. But we've got a lot of people working on this with Moffitt and Nickel, and like I said, some of the other companies that haven't even engaged with us yet, but they're willing to give us kind of their professional opinion. The people they're interested in being the taking on that project management role. So we're getting a lot of good advice, but it's disappointing, for sure.
Hey.
Is that your final report? I was hoping to hear from you on the SAFE grant, both on the current funds and if we're applying for the one this year that is due April 30th, and also a discussion about the city water sewer rate proposal increase.
Yeah, for the SAFE grant, we haven't expended the funds yet. We've identified a few candidates and need to work with Billy on that. Generally speaking, they don't approve two grants in successive years. I mean, their funding is really limited. And the feedback that we got when we applied last year was, there's way more applicants than they have money for. And so I don't think there's really a chance of us getting a grant for the upcoming year. But we will definitely make it a priority to spend down those funds that we have been awarded. In terms
can
of,
you just double check on that? My understanding of this grant is the faster we spend them, the funds, especially if we spent them prior to our next grant application, they were more likely to award them the following year. So if we could get on spending the $12,000 and show that we spent it and show that we still have this other need, then they're way more likely to approve it this year. That was my understanding of reading it online.
Yeah, I will reach out, and that's just what they told me when I was applying last year. But it's definitely worth making an inquiry to see where they're at in their program and see what they might be open to. And it's not very burdensome to make an application, so I'm happy to do that and give you some feedback at the next meeting for sure. With regard to the sewer rate increase, my recommendation is that we do put it on the agenda. Obviously, historically, the Harbor District has taken a position on these types of matters. For instance, the fire district's rate increases, and this does have a financial impact on the Harbor in a lot of ways. So that's something that if the board does want to take a position, certainly we can put that on the agenda.
I definitely think that should be on our next agenda. Maybe we should pick a committee or something to go talk to the city water or address the situation. That's going to be a huge impact on this harbor.
10%.
And the sewer, yeah.
We're budgeted for, what, $44,000 for the quarter? So that's $4,400 a quarter.
Well, it doesn't start till July. I don't think so. It's not going to affect this fiscal. I actually do rate studies for utilities. I've done several of them now. And The reason why they're having to do this rate increase, of course, is because they haven't done it for 10 years, and you're supposed to do a Prop 218 rate study every 5 years because that's when you get to do it again. And the problem is that they haven't done it for 10 years, so they're trying to make up for 10 years to do this. So as the person who puts the numbers together, they need that money because they're running deficit right now. So I don't know what you, as the public, think that an argument can be made if they're not able to run the district with the funds that they have. I don't know what the argument would be. I can appreciate all you, and I've been there, right? We do the public thing, and you guys come in, and if a percentage of enough percentage of people complain, then we have to go to the next step in the Prop 218. So that's great. That's all public involvement. But the reality of it is, as the person who puts that together, what is the other option? Just reality.
Andy, do you know if the rate increase would also possibly increase the connection fee per drain, like so an RV park?
No, budget? This is just a rate. This is
just a monthly.
This is just the rate. Yep.
The amount of water you put out. How many
RV stations you hook up to the drain?
Well, the more you have, the more sewer, and then the more you get that charge. So.
We need to think about taking advantage of the old rates before the new rates kick in terms of applying for our connection fee.
Yeah, no, this is a very different thing. Connection fees are nothing to do with your rates. Your rates are based on what size meter do you have and how much usage do you have. So you get charged on your per cubic foot, and then you get a minimum. Sometimes the utilities have a minimum. It all depends on what kind of rate structure they want to do. So you might have, for $60, you get 300 cubic feet. And then over that, you pay, you know, for the additional. It all depends on what kind of rate structure they've done. But the reality of it is the person who puts the budget numbers together to decide what their rate is, they've got all the financials that will support why they have to do what they're doing. And it all has to do with they waited 10 years to do it. You should do a rate schedule every 5 years so you don't get caught in that position.
The only other thing I wanted to add was that been working with the Army Corps on the emergency dredging of the Federal Channel. And if there are any fishermen who are listening to this, I'd really appreciate any feedback on shoaling or any other navigational issues with the increased sediment. Anything that you've experienced in the real world would be really helpful to submit to the Army Corps. They're trying to expedite this emergency dredging as much as possible. And I think, you know, they've already assured us we can do FY27, but any additional feedback that we give them just moves us that much higher on the priority list.
The boat basin is definitely getting shallower.
Yeah. Yeah. If anybody just, you know, call me or email me or come by the office, you know, you can just write some really simple comments and I'll put it together, you know, in a formal letter to the Army Corps. That's all I got.
Okay. And moving on to communication report and directions to staff. Sandy?
Oh, the financial report. Okay. So the reason why the cash flow on the fly doesn't work, Dan, that you were doing earlier is because grants aren't being taken into consideration there. The accounts payable, for instance, has almost $90,000 in accounts payable that's going to be funded by grant, and I'm waiting for the grant money to come in and pay for that. I'm just finishing up grant billing right now for this last quarter, and so there's money that's been spent on grants that will be coming in. So our cash flow isn't as high as it should be right now because we paid out some grant stuff that I'll be asking money for, and we'll have that back before the end of the year. Because I did hope to have cash flow projections reports to you at this meeting, and I wasn't able to do that because I haven't finished my grant billing, and there's three issues in grant billing. All of it shows up on your balance sheet. It's what is our accounts receivable for grants, what is the retention, the money that they're holding back from us, 10% of any funds we do, they hold that until it's all done, and then how much are we spending on the project, and what does our asset look like. Those are all important things. That is the last thing I'm doing. That's why I'm not done with my audit, because those grants affect the budget. The grants affect my cash flow. The grants affect my year in. We're trying to find additional expenses that we paid the money out and we haven't gotten reimbursed for, and I've identified some of those. So there's a number of things going on with the grant. And then in addition, you guys are considering bringing in an accounting firm to do the grant billing. And I'm hoping that we're going to be able to do that in-house, and that will be a funding source for us next year to pay for part of our accounting department. And if I can get you guys these nice reports and you can see how we can do it, all of those things go together. So that's my focus after this meeting is over. That brings me up to the audit. I've got grant billing and one thing about some paid time off reconciliation. That finishes the audit stuff. I have not reached out to my auditor because I've already promised him twice in the last 30 days that I would have this information to him shortly. I do have a tax business, my tax practice, and the last 2 weeks have been about doing my year ends and my tax practice stuff. So I was really only able to get your budget stuff done in the last 2 weeks. So I'll be back on the audit stuff. We have received a notice from the state because our financial report has not been filed. We are in a delinquent status for that. I've spoke with them this morning. They've noted the account. They understand where we're at in the audit process. I've said to them that we expect we would have that to them by May 10th. As long as they have the documentation by the end of May and we file it, our auditor will be filing this report. So if I get this to him, let's say best case scenario by Friday, if not, he has it next week. That gives him a week or two to get it filed. And once he files that, the delinquent status goes away. So any penalties that might arise, we will negate those by having this filed by the end of May. And he's confirmed that with me in writing. Coming up to the USDA loan modification, we had really good discussions. All those naysayers out there that said USDA is not going to work with you, you are so wrong, because USDA has shown us a number of different ways that they're willing to work with us. We'll be meeting with the county people next week to talk about what those options are going to be and how does it involve the county having our TOT money. One of the things on the budget that I should have mentioned is that what saved us really is our property tax revenue and our TOT revenue is exceeding our expectations. And so we're getting with the county and getting them to understand how the USDA looks at it and how are they willing to work with it. That's one thing. Another thing that we found out about home insurance, Annie, I know you have a great concern about that $181,000. We did find out, and I will be getting the documentation that confirms it, that the two plans that they wanted me to investigate, one was the National Flood Insurance, the other one was the California Earthquake Insurance. We are not qualified to be under either of those two plans. USDA felt strongly that we should apply to those two because that will demonstrate to the feds that not only is it, as the argument we make all the time, you've heard me say it many times, they want $181,000 and now it's going to be even more, $181,000, and then they want a $250,000 deductible, and they're not going to cover tsunami, wave damage, earthquakes. They're not going to cover any of that. And then if we are going to have any damages, they're going to be the small kind, a $25,000 here or whatever there. So it absolutely makes sense to self-insure. And they talked about it, putting together our plan on how we would do that. In any case, even if they said in 2 weeks' time, if they said, nope, we're not going to allow this, you have to go get insurance, there would be a 60-day at least time for us to go get that. They're not going to say you have to have it in a week. So regardless, we do not need the $181,000 in this year's budget. We don't need to be considering it in any way, shape, or form. So I don't want to put that in my budget, right? I don't want to mention anything about that. But if we're going to talk about cash flow projections and where's our money at, we are not going to need $181,000 to pay insurance for this fiscal year. If we did have to do that, that would be next year and it would be financed. So it would be in part of our budget for next year. I'll do that when I get to the next thing. So that's our loan modification plan. Going on to the CEPA requests. Thank you, Linda Sutter. I know she's not here today. You know, most people, if they don't get an email and you've told them you sent something, you would expect them to maybe give you a call or send you an email and say, hey, I didn't get what you said. No, Linda, thanks to Dan over there, has to put a public
I'm sorry, point of order. Can you please stop finger pointing? This isn't a jury here.
Okay.
It's a report.
But we all know that it's out there, right? So I can be called out in the newspaper, but I can't say it here.
Please just give you a report.
Okay, I am giving my report. So instead of getting the public letter that says I didn't send her the information, I sent it out a different way today. Now that I know that it works, because I put it as a CC to myself as well, and I'm sending it as an email, share this link, rather than using the share program that we have, I know that it works because I sent it to myself as well. So I now know that she absolutely has all the documents I've been trying to give her for the last 4 months. In addition to that, now that we have that, Annie, we can set you up with a share directory. So when you're asking for your stuff, we can drop it in there and send you the share link. And we've done that with the RV park stuff. And did you guys all confirm earlier you did receive that email? Because everybody should be seeing your link to be able to get into all those financials. So we now have a process that allows us to drop the documents. So that to me was a big hurdle with the CEPRA stuff. And then moving on to the status report on other pending projects. So I still do have the cash flow projection out there and have gotten my model together. I just need the numbers for my grants in there. We've been looking at right now, the county is looking to us for our contracts to do the possessory interest calculations for next year. That's brought to our attention that we really need to get on our contract review because we're finding some inconsistencies. So we're working on that project. This also brought into our purview the ordinances that we know we want to get that out there, right? Because we know it has to post for 60 days. And we've talked about we're going to now do that every year, right? So about this time, we should review this rate schedule. So I'm assuming that at our next regularly scheduled meeting, you guys are going to see the ordinances and the rate sheet, and we'll get all that approved and have that ready to go for July 1st. Now that we've kind of solidified what's happening with the USDA, and we think that on a Tuesday, we're going to have the RV vote. Once that happens, a lot of things kick in. Harbor facilities plan is something we're going to want in front of the next county meeting. I think they're having a meeting this week and or we're going to miss it for next week. They've got a meeting next week and we're not going to get stuff in time for this one. So I think by the time we get to our next meeting, we'll need some things approved because we're going to want to get those on to the next county's agenda. So we're looking forward to doing the harbor facilities plan. That kind of ties into the CDAA. Mike Rademacher mentioned earlier about we got the LHMP approved, and that means that we're not going to have match. So that opens up that $1 million MOU that we need to do. We now know for certain how that finance is going to work. So now we need to get with Nora and have discussions with her and get with Neil and the county people, which we have scheduled for next week. So we'll be talking about how does that whole thing work. Because we did all this work on the budget third quarter review, we're already starting to do our budget for next year. Christine is going to be working on that. And our projection is that all this stuff solidifies. We probably won't bring it up at the first May meeting. We'll just still be working on that. But at the second May meeting, we'll do our first presentation of the proposed budget for 26-27. At our first meeting in June, will be like a workshop kind of thing. And then the last meeting in June, it would be approved the budget for the next year. And again, I'm feeling really good about this because our whole workout plan and working with the Fashion Blacksmith, working with the USDA, working with the unions, and getting all of this grant stuff all together, all of these things look like we're pushing right into the good direction. And we definitely got year two under our belt there. And that's not to mention that we've got Cal Muni and Weiss Group. We do not have operations. We don't have deficits for any reason other than we have debt issues. And restructuring debt is the answer. And that has to happen and will happen. And clearly, with all the things we're doing, it's going to happen. So that took care of that, the CDA, the $1 million meeting with them. Merchant services is another big thing. We talked about it a couple months ago. We had to turn off the QuickBooks account because Thomas owned it. And so right now, people aren't able to pay using a merchant service, although we do have Docwa on a merchant service, and we do have our RV parks have a merchant service, but we don't have a merchant service. So we're talking about that. I want to throw the name Zelle out there. I did it before. I'd really like to make Zelle happen. I'm going to be putting a communication out to our U.S. bank representative who handles governments to see what they think about Zelle. So if anybody has any other comments, I was going to do three quotes for you, and we really need to have this happen at that next May meeting. I was hoping to have Zelle as one of them. U.S. Bank, who is our bank, will probably have a recommendation if they won't accept Zelle, but I understand governments are accepting Zelle at this time. And then the third one I was going to go with is I know some of the new merchant services out there have a thing where they charge back the merchant fee to the person putting their credit card in at the time they do it, rather than us trying to find a way to charge them back. So I'm trying to give you those three quotes at the next meeting. That's everything I have.
I'd like a little clarification on the 181.5 for the self-insurance. So that's stuff that we reserved. We reserved it as our own self-insurance. So I know it's still there. Like, it's not going to happen now, tomorrow, next week. So that is still reserved for our own insurance. It is our own self-insurance policy. So when we're looking at the budget for next year, in my opinion, that money should be considered part of this self-insurance. I mean, we really need 10, 20 million in a self-insurance policy. That's so 180,000 isn't a great start, but it's a start. And so to say, oh, we can just move it into next year's budget or use it, isn't really how it was set up.
I would beg to differ with you. When I put the budget together, I clearly said to you, the only way you get this budget is if you don't pay insurance. And I know that's a weighty decision, but we don't pay it. And that was based on the information we had at June, which made me at the time think we didn't have to have insurance because that's what the lease agreement said. But that's not what the USDA document said, which we learned about in August. At the time when you reserved it, I said to you, and I repeated it when we did the budget review in October of the first quarter, I'm going to be asking you for that 181, because that 181, you might reserve that, and we didn't know where we were going to be. Were we going to run out of money in December? Were we going to run out of money in when? We didn't know when, but we do know now. We're making it to the end of the year, and that was with the understanding that we needed that for 181,000. And again, that comes into that cash flow projection you were throwing out there on the fly. That 181,000 was always intended to be used, and let me say, to pay the Fashion Blacksmith payment, because that's still inside the budget. That's what that 181,000 needed to be there for. You restricted it, and I was absolutely, let's restrict it, because that payment to Fashion Blacksmith wouldn't have happened until March 1st, and we wanted to make sure we got until the end of the year. But I've said repeatedly, at some point, I'm going to be asking you for that money, and it's not going to be a reserve for insurance. And we have not said in any way, shape, or form to USDA, we have 181,000 set aside as a reserve to pay that insurance. We've never made that comment. We have always said we're spending every penny we got to get to year two, and we're trying to work with all of our partners on a workout plan to make sure we get to work to year two, and we have done that. And if we need to pay insurance, then we will do a payment plan and we will figure that all in. But our understanding of what we'd like to do in self-insured is, and I forget the number now because I haven't looked at the USA document in a long time. I think 80,000 is what we used to pay for that policy. It went from 80,000 to 120,000 to 181,000. And if we did it now, they'd want 200 plus. That's obscene for what you're getting. And we think there's a legitimate argument to say, let's put 80,000 aside this year, and let's maybe do 80,000 every year for 10 years. And then what do you have? 800,000. That's still not enough. If something bad happened, you're going to get a grant no matter what, because there's no insurance out there that's going to cover that tsunami when it comes. So how much money do you want to save out there? I think 80,000 a year maybe is a good amount to put together. And then not only that, what have you done? You have created a reserve that we should have had and not used on paying fashion blacksmiths, right? We should have refinanced the judgment when it first happened and made it go over 25 years instead of using our reserves these last couple of years. That's what should have happened. But right now, what we have an opportunity to do is take that money, put it into a dedicated account and call it an insurance reserve. And then maybe at some point you have 800,000 in there. The way you guys word it, you have a way to use that as collateral for, or can you take an advance draw from it? You know, how can you manage that money? Those things are above me. That's what a Cal Muni would show us how to do. But those are different options that we will be able to create. And again, all of this, I believe, comes together in a plan that's put together in the next, 30, 45 days on how do we refinance our debt restructure? How do we address USDA and the insurance thing? All of those things, we're going to finally have answers here in, I'd say, 30 to 45 days.
I'm going to disagree with you. The board made a decision and you're making a decision stating we. So I'll re-listen to the recording. But again, that's 181,000 that's reserved for insurance. And you're saying, well, I'm going to spend it. That's not, the board didn't approve that. And maybe they will because you were asking. But just to make the assumption that you can put it back in the budget, I'm saying this is a great start for the self-insurance. So please keep that in mind. That's all I'm asking. 181,000 is a nice start to a self-insurance if we're moving in that direction.
Well, clearly, if you have a budget, in a budget I just gave you that says you're only going to have 78,000 left at the end of the year, you're going to have to use 110,000 of that to get to the end of the year, absent any other changes. So clearly, what you guys agreed to in the budget, both at June, at October, and today, if you've approved those three budgets, you are clearly saying you're going to have to use the 181. Right? And that's your argument you've made all along, is that we don't have a balanced budget. And that's a valid argument you're making.
We're going to make it through the year.
Yes, we are.
Mr. Chairman, are you allowing public comments?
We're still in discussion here, but we will. I will have it afterwards because this is important. But yeah, and then we were told we weren't going to be there till the end of the year. So these are the things we're bringing out to the public. These are the things we're doing to say solve it as a harbor. And we have a plan to move forward. And in that plan, I do believe in the future, insurance is going to be part of it. But at this point in time, with what was just explained, when you're paying $200,000+ a year for the insurance policy, and there's a $250,000, deductible, we don't even have that kind of money. So it's absurd to even pay it. And I agree with Ann. I would wish we could put $200,000 into self-insurance, but we don't have that money to do it. And we're using it to stay solvent. And hopefully with the RV parks and some of the other negotiations, the plan that we're putting together, that we're explaining with USDA and working with Fashion Blacksmith, that we can get to a loan level where outside investors will invest into the harbor. And that would pay off Fashion Blacksmith, and that loan would extend it 30 to 40 years, which is something that we could do. And so this plan that we're putting together to stay solvent it's not perfect, but at the position that we're in, I do not see any other way of moving forward. And then down the road, as far as insurance, if you can get a fair amount of money in self-insurance, then there's underwriters that will underwrite you for of the larger amount if you can pay the smaller amounts. And that's how the insurance pools work. And that's my goal, is to be able to get to that figure to where we can have an underwriter come in, and that's a very, that does not cost a lot of money. And that's the goal, the direction that we need to go in. So is there any other comments from the?
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure that we're all aware that during a staff report, one of our staff was just asked to refrain from talking about commissioners. I've been in the past as the chair. I've been under attack from multiple people of the public, so I know it doesn't feel comfortable. But we still have a First Amendment, so I would encourage you to use your 3 minutes of public time to say whatever you needed to say earlier that you wouldn't. That you were asked not to say. So you will have your First Amendment protected by us.
Certainly during her public free speech, you can't. And during the report time, we can stick to reports.
Sure, Jeanette, I get it. I just want
one more
to confirm that we will not shut down our staff. We'll just advise, hey, you got your 3 minutes later. Please reserve those comments for later.
And were you done with your comment on the financials? And Dan, do you have anything more? With that, we'll entertain public comment on the financial.
There's something very uncomfortable about, inherently to me, very uncomfortable about self-insurance.
Yeah.
It's got some serious flaws in it. 181,000 is a few nickels. It's not going to cover anything major. But you are members of the California Association of Harbors. I hope Mike is listening. Is that correct?
Yes.
What the county does on liability issues is they have a pool of counties. I think in the case of Del Norte County, there's part of one of the 12 counties. So when County A, Calaveras County, for instance, has a problem, it goes to a pool, and then the hurt is mitigated for all the others. So the premium goes up a little bit. I would have you or Mike, if he's available to hear, to see if other harbors, you're part of the same group, offer a similar pool that you can get in and join. So when you have a major problem, you're insured by the pool rather than your individuality. Because I say there's something very uncomfortable about the Crescent City Harbor Commission going it alone on insurance. And I think it's going to be a nightmare and a half if something really happens, especially in the beginning years when you have just $181,000 in there. So consider that as we move forward on this insurance issue. Thank you.
My comment on that would be that nobody wants Crescent City because we're the only one that gets wiped out. All the partners are. They probably have a pool, but whatever you do, let them in here.
Well,
no, it's just a joke. It's a joke.
The 181,000 is for the inner boat basin only. It's not our liability insurance, it's property damage only. For the inner boat basin, it's not anything else.
We had insurance when the last tsunami, but they didn't insure tsunami. I mean, so we ended up having to go to USDA and get a $50 million loan to pay this, to build this harbor. And that's the absurdity of this whole insurance is that if something really happens, we don't have the money and they won't pay for it anyways. So it's been something. I like the pool though. I'm a big pool guy. I've been a member for 50 years, and that's what I'm talking about. You get to a certain level, you get an underwriter, and but it takes some time, and that's the only way for us to go that I can see.
All these harbor commissions, they have pools, Santa Cruz, Santa Barbara, they all have inner harbors.
You said
So the, there is an insurance pool through the California Special Districts Association. And it's called the Special District Risk Management Authority. And we have used them in the past for certain insurance needs like workers' compensation and some other needs. But it's just not, it's similar to the issue we're having with the other underwriters that Ms. Moreno identified. They have exclusions that make the policies just really have little practical value. But I mean, please be assured that we are working extremely diligently on that issue and everything else. I mean, we're working overtime trying to get this plan that is cohesive, that's realistic, and that keeps us moving down the road. And we're getting very close to a lot of these things coming together. It's been very gratifying the past couple of weeks, and I think the public's going to see the fruits of our labors in short order.
I've been directly involved with this plan that we're talking about. And I feel very good about us being able to stay solvent in Crescent City. I really do. There was a while back that I was really concerned. I really feel strong that it's coming together, and we're gonna succeed. Did you something have something done?
I would like to take my 3 minute.
Okay, you got public comment up there. Go ahead.
Okay. I did have something I was going to say, and I decided that I didn't want to be so divisive and say it. So I was trying to get some of my comments in, and clearly, and there you got a, you don't like that. You're the one that sits there and says to me, do your job, do your job. And you say that to Mike, do your job. So I feel like you call me out. Well, I should be able to do it likewise in the format and not have to do that as a public, because you're not doing it as a public thing. You're doing it as a member of the team. We're all a team here. And then further, to talk about team, do you have your 3 minute clock on there? To talk about team, shame on you, Dan. Shame on you for doing that article in the paper. We are part of a team, and we're all working together here. We're working really hard, and it's coming together, and we're going to be able to show that. And I've said it all along. I'm just going to put my head down, and I'm going to go forward. Nobody has ever said anything to you. I've done elder care for 5 different individuals in the last 40 years. When you're with somebody for longer than 15 minutes and you have discussions, you know when they are approaching dementia, Alzheimer's, whatever, you know, because you've been with them. Dan, you've been here at meetings and you've made comments 10 minutes later about something that just got decided on. And you're commenting like you didn't hear what we just went through for 10 minutes. Your friends know, your family knows, the people you're working with know that you've got some considerations there. So if anybody should be resigning, I think perhaps you should be resigning. And I did not at all appreciate you coming after our team and saying that we're not doing a good job and that we're not working hard to do the things that we're doing. And we're going to prove it to you in the next 45 to 60 days that you are categorically incorrect in stating facts that aren't there. That's my 3 minutes.
Okay. And with that, no more public comment. That was a good ending to a great meeting. So anyways, thank you all for coming, and appreciate your attendance and all of your input. I really do appreciate it. And like I said, I feel very good about the harbor moving forward. I'm a little concerned about dredging in a haul out facility, which is was one of my top priorities of getting done. But anyways, we are moving forward, and I just want to thank you for all coming. And with that, I'm going to adjourn the meeting.